Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Have a Bible with you. Turning to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to be in there for a while this morning. And do y'all know who wrote the book of Proverbs? Solomon did. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. And in the book of Proverbs, how many of you read a proverb a day? God bless y'all. Everybody needs to take... What's today? What's the date? The 11th? Go to Proverbs 11 today and read the chapter, Proverbs 11. That'll get you started in your regular daily Bible reading. But Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs as a father to a son, as a parent to children. And it's very significant for us today. Now, I'm going to read a lot of scriptures this morning. And so, if y'all will just kind of, can you honor God's word in your seat? That wasn't good enough. Yeah, let's all stand. We're going to honor God's word here today. Look at verse 1 in chapter 4. I'm going to skip around here a little bit. Proverbs 4, verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, as Solomon speaking, and give attention to no understanding. Now jump down to verse 10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Woo, what a promise. Verse 18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. How many of you are looking forward to the perfect day? Verse 19. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Father, would you add your blessing to the reading and the teaching and the preaching of your holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Remember, these are the words of a father to a child. And it reveals, this whole chapter reveals that our children, from time to time, will come to crossroads in life. And the path that they choose determines what kind of life they're going to have. There was a very promiscuous young 16-year-old girl many years ago who gave birth to an illegitimate son. And this poor child, this boy, was left unattended most of the time. He was just tossed to and fro and left here and there. By the time this kid was, I guess, 3 or 4, his mother had sold him to someone for a pint of beer. This kid grew up in orphanages and, you can guess, juvenile centers. And this boy had a lot of psychologists trying to help him and study him. And after he was analyzed, the psychologists all came to one conclusion. This boy has severe problems. On the other hand, there was another boy that was raised in a home of believers. His dad was an evangelist, and an evangelist is gone a lot of the time. And so when the dad was gone, the mom would just pour scriptures into this young boy's life and just lived the right kind of life in front of this son. And then when the dad was home, he pointed him to the right path and by his own example showed him what it means to be on the right path in this life and continued just to disciple his son and his parents did a great job with this young man. And let me tell you who this young man wound up being. Any of y'all know Dr. James Dobson? The other child I was talking about wound up being Charles Manson. I want to tell you, there is a, you can make a huge difference in the life of a child. Look at verse 11. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. Our kids today are at a crossroad, and we need to help them find, choose, and follow God's path. Amen. That's what the message is all about this morning. Our children are at a crossroads in life. And some of you may be here and you don't have any kids. How many of you have grandkids? Some of you don't know whether you're proud of that or not. You're just kind of trying to figure out. How many of you know some children? All right. We can all make a difference in the lives of these children. We all can. Hillary Clinton was right about one thing. She said it takes a what? A village to raise a child. Everybody working together and pouring into that child to help raise them right. And so I just want to, I've collected some truths today from chapter 4, and let me give them to you quickly. First of all, we want to teach our kids, teach the children, the importance of finding God's path. The importance of finding God's path. Look again at verse, well, let's start again at verse 10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I've taught you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. We need to teach our children the importance of finding God's path. Now, a child's peers will play a part in their finding the right path or the wrong path. But by far, the most important influence and impact that's made on a child happens in that family atmosphere. Did y'all hear that over here on this side? The most important influence and impact that's made on a child and his or her life comes through that family atmosphere. Well, and I know what some of y'all are thinking. I didn't have a godly father. I didn't really have a godly mother. Or maybe your parent ran off and left you. I don't know all the situation, but you listen to this. I've said all of that so far this morning to say this right here. You can stop that pattern. You can break that cycle. Look at your neighbor and say, you can. Now everybody look at your neighbor and say, you can. You can. We ought to break that cycle. So as Solomon was moving through life, he began to teach his boy about finding God's path. Now, look at verse 3. This is so cool. He begins to reminisce about his family life. Solomon, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth, do not forsake her and she will preserve you, love her and she will keep you, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. And so Solomon is reminiscing about the home that he was raised in. And evidently in his home, the Word of God was paramount. And y'all know the difference between getting wisdom and getting understanding or getting knowledge? Knowledge is all good and well, but if you don't know how to apply that knowledge, hello? That's what wisdom is, being able to apply that knowledge. And what Solomon's saying, in my home, the Word of God, by the way, God's Word is wisdom. Man's wisdom, well, the Bible says God's foolishness is wiser than man's wisdom. We tend to think we're so sharp and smart. No, God's Word has what we need. the Word of God. And there's all kinds of questions in life. There's all kinds of things that flow through our minds and our hearts and our attitudes. And God's Word has an answer to every single thing that we come across. And so Solomon's reminiscing about how God... And you know, as I was reading it, I began to think about... Mama's not here this morning, is she? The house I grew up in, I am so thankful for two parents that love the Lord and showed me what it looks like to find God's path. Scripture was laden across our house. It was on my mom and dad's lips. My daddy, when we were young, we would sit at the dinner table, and you remember Dan, that big black King James Bible he had? Of course, he got liberal later in life and went to a contemporary version. But he used to read the Bible to us. And then we'd every now and then climb up in his lap and get some TLC from him, and he would always apply what he had read to us. And my mother, oh my goodness. And me and all my four sisters are serving the Lord, not because we're such good people, but because of God's grace and God's goodness. And I don't know why God's been so good to me. If you grew up in a Christian home and in a family that believed God and walked with God, you better thank God every day for that. What a blessing that is. Now, you remember who Solomon's parents were? Hello? David and Bathsheba. That relationship didn't really have a good start, did it? I mean, it began with an adulterous affair, and then David tried to cover his sin and put Bathsheba's husband Uriah up on the front lines so that he might, and that's what happened. And yet David and Bathsheba repented of their sin. Now, let me stop right here and say this. Just because you repent of your sin doesn't mean there's not going to be any consequences. David and Bathsheba's first child died. But they repented of their sin, and God extended grace and goodness and gave them a son named Solomon, who just wound up being the wisest man that ever lived and the richest man that ever lived. And you know what he asked for when God kind of gave him a silver platter before he began to serve? He said, Lord, give me wisdom. What a wise, wise response. And so the best thing you can do for your kids is to pour the Word of God into them. Would you flip on over to Deuteronomy? Let me just read these verses to you. For your children. And by the way, the boy that Solomon's writing to was David and Bathsheba's grandson. How many of y'all got grandchildren? Right, let's be sure about it now. Okay? Grandparents, you can have a huge impact and influence on your grandchildren. I was talking to Phyllis Robinson earlier. And you know, she lost her husband a year ago today. But you know what? Every time we talk and every time she gets to talk, telling me what she's doing with her grandkids. And she is pouring, aren't you, Phyllis? You are pouring your life into those grandchildren. And sister, it's going to pay off big time. Look at Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 8. Well, I just can't skip verse 4. This is the Shema. My brother-in-law, Shan Smith, has a ring from Israel that says this. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. How many of you would say amen to that? Amen. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk with them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, the Word of God tells us this morning we're to be pouring God's Word into our children. He didn't even know I was going to do this. Isaac, come up here with your dad for a minute. Can I use one of these mics, guys? One of these, okay? There we go. What a good-looking boy. Who's your daddy? This is Isaac James, our wonderful, beautiful surprise. He's 12 years old, and he and I, his mama does a far better job time-wise with him than I do because of some of my responsibilities, but I am trying. God's given me a second chance to be a better dad, Mike, and so we go to school together, and I don't go into school with him, but I take him to school and pick him up every day, and we have some spiritual conversations. He reads from the scriptures, and we pray together, and he's memorizing God's word, putting it in his heart like Deuteronomy tells us to do, and I want to give y'all an early Christmas present, okay? Y'all don't like presents? All right. Isaac, I want you to give them the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20.
It came to pass in those days that Caesar Augustus said that all the world should be taxed, and everyone went back to their own city, and Joseph went to Bethlehem with his betrothed wife Mary, who was with child, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped them in swaddling clothes, and laid them in a manger, for there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds watching over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy. On this day in the city of David, there is a Savior being born, and he is Christ the Lord."
Amen. All right. And his mama checks his devotional writings and readings. All I'm saying is we're not bragging on Isaac. We're not bragging on us. We're just trying to pour Jesus into this young man. And the more of God's word he gets in his heart, the more he'll be able to respond when the devil comes knocking on the door. Get that kid of yours, get that grandchild of yours in the Word of God, in the Bible. This is what's changed my life. And my life needed changing. Amen, Mike Henderson. He and I grew up together. And God's Word has changed my life. And I want that same Word to change my boy's life. And God's doing that. He belongs to the Lord. He came to Christ several years ago. And that was a great day for Diana and I as well. And there's my beautiful little granddaughter sitting right beside him. And see, she's soaking all this up. You get what I'm saying? When they're lying down, when you're in the car, when you're on a cell phone, get the Word of God to your kids. We need to teach our children the importance of teaching our children to find God's path. Here's the second truth I ran across in chapter 4. Look again at verses 18 and 19. There's two paths in life. Hear me? How many? Verse 18. I can't skip it. I'm sorry. Back up to verse 14. "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Don't travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they do not sleep unless they've done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." There are two paths. You help your child find that path, find God's path, and then you help that child choose God's path. Now, you can't make your kid choose the right path. Only God can do that. And I just say, as a pastor, I've seen parents do everything right, and their kids turn out wrong. And I've seen parents do everything wrong and seen kids turn out right. But the vast majority of the time, if you're helping your child find God's path, they'll eventually choose God's path. Now, there's two paths in life. You know what they are? Solomon says the path of the wicked and the path of the just. There's two paths, and they both have different destinations. One path will take you to a place called heaven, which is a gorgeous, beautiful place. The biblical authors have trouble describing how awesome heaven is. And then the other path leads to hell. The Bible calls hell a place of destruction, a place of where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place where the worm dieth not, a place of eternal fire and damnation. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. We talked about hell a few weeks ago. Y'all remember that? And you came back for seconds this morning. But heaven is not the default destination. Hello? You don't have to do anything. You just keep things the way they are because you're born on the wrong path. The Bible says we are born into sin, and then we prove that we're sinners by choosing to sin, and our sins separate us from a thrice holy God. I want us to go to the words of Jesus. He actually spoke these words in Matthew chapter 7. If you have a Bible or an iPhone or an iPad, take a look at this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Are you there? Okay, look at verse 13. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Now Jesus said there's two paths in life, and there's two gates. Jesus said, "Enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go in that way and down that path." He says the majority of people are on the broad way. The majority of people have gone through the wide gate. And that's the path that leads to destruction. Does that not make you sad? Why do people choose that way? Because it's the easy way. Did you hear what I said? It's the easy way. I mean, it's a whole lot harder. It's a whole lot easier to swim downstream than it is upstream. The path of the righteous and the just, Jesus calls it the difficult way. And he says the wide gate and the broad way, that's where most people are today. Because it's the easy way. Easy. Everybody can go that way. And it's the way of pleasure. It's the way of prosperity. It's the way of power and position. Everybody's going that way. And it always amazes me that Jesus said that's the road most people are on. That's the majority of people. Isn't that sad? And we don't do people any favors by telling them, "Oh, if you'll just give your life to Jesus, everything's going to be smooth and sweet." That is wrong. Because when you go through the narrow gate, that way is the difficult way. It's tough being a believer. I've talked, you know, there are other countries in this world, it'll cost you your life to become a believer. It's the difficult way. And it's getting increasingly difficult in our country to serve God. You look at the life that Jesus had when He was here. Was it difficult for Him? And it ought to be difficult for us. It's the difficult way. But that's the road that leads to life. And by the way, when you go through that narrow gate and you're on that path of the, you know, you're on the difficult way, the difficult road, the difficult path, the longer you on it, the wider it gets. And it ends in a bright, beautiful, glorious destination called heaven. The wide gate, easy to get into. A lot of folks are on it. But the longer you're on that road, guess what? The more narrow it gets. And it ends in a place where there's eternal torment. You know what the worst thing is about hell? It's not all that fire and brimstone and outer dot and all that other stuff. It's being separated from the love of Almighty God. You're surrounded by God's love this morning, every one of you. Teach your children how to choose the right path. That is so, so important. And if you're here this morning, and let me say this about the narrow gate. The truth is exclusive. It's hard. It's restrictive. It's narrow. I mean, 2 + 2 = 4. That doesn't make us mad. But when you tell somebody Jesus is the only way, the truth and the life, that upsets folks. But it's truth is always narrow. Absolute truth is always narrow. It's restrictive. But you know what? We've got to keep sharing the truth. Can I just tell you all, there isn't anything that you can do that'll go out here and make God love you any less than He does right now. The Bible says God loves you and provided a way for you to get on the right path. And I'll talk more about that here in just a few minutes. But teach your kids not only how to find God's path, but to choose God's path. It's a personal, personal choice. Can you imagine one day sitting around the throne of God? Can you imagine that? And hear the angelic choirs of heaven singing? And most of all, Jesus is right there. We'll be face to face with Him. Choose the right path. And then finally, we need to teach our kids the importance of following God's path. And I'll close with these last three things here in Proverbs. Look at verse 20. Proverbs verse 20, 4 verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Now here's the first one. He says, guard your heart. Keep your heart. This is a great memory verse. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Wow. Guard your hearts. In Hebrew thought and Hebrew theology, the heart was the center of life. It included the mind and the will and the emotions and your attitudes. It was the center of life. And he says, guard your heart. Teach your children to keep their minds, their attitudes, their emotions, their actions, to keep them pure. Teach them that. Now, it's not enough to just find the right path and choose the right path. It's as important as everything to follow God's path. I'm all about, you know, the security of the believer. I am. But I want to tell you what, we Baptists don't say enough about works and what it means to follow Jesus. There's a right way and a wrong way to live if you're a believer. And if you think that your salvation is a license to sin, let me tell you something. You are in for a rude awakening. God will not let His people enjoy sin. He'll spank you. I'm the poster child for this. He'll spank you. He will punish you. He will discipline you. Why? Because He loves you. So He says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. And then he says, govern your lips. Look at verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. You know, the language today is unbelievable. It's so vulgar and crude. And I want to tell you, the girls are as bad as the guys. I won't tell you where I was this past week, but I heard someone using foul, filthy speech. And I said something to her about it. And by the way, she's been in through these doors a time or two. And I said, do you think Jesus likes to hear stuff like that? And can I just say this about our speech? Listen to your pastor. I love you enough to tell you this truth. Whatever comes up in the bucket is what's down in the well. Filthy speech and vulgar language and a gossiping, rude tongue reveals a dirty heart. 34 years ago, Diana and I decided to start having kids. That was a life-changing decision. But I remembered my dad when I was growing up. I never heard my father, Dan and Susan, say an ugly word. Never. Not one ugly word. And so I thought, you know, I want my kids to be able to say that about me. And so I made the decision right then, with God's strength and God's power. I still get critical with my tongue, but I don't use it for vulgarities and crude speech anymore. I try to use it to lift up Jesus. Amen. Govern your lips. It speaks volumes when we spew all this junk out of our mouth. It's a poor testimony and a poor witness. Y'all with me? Aren't you glad God's a God of grace? And then look at verse 25. He says, guard your hearts, govern your lips, and guide your eyes. Verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. And let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. How plain is that? Fix your eyes on Jesus, Hebrews 11 says. Looking unto Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter. Another translation says the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and He'll help you and your children and your children's children to not only find God's path, but to choose God's path and to follow God's path. Bobby and Lauren, isn't that what y'all want? Michael and Taryn, isn't that what y'all want? And I think if we'd be really wise and honest, I think that's what just about everybody in this room wants for your family. Get on the right path. And, you know, we've got kids today at crossroads in life. But there's an intersection of these two paths, the path of the just and the path of the wicked, the way of the world and the way of the Lord. There's an intersection. What's that? Cross. Jesus loved us enough to leave heaven. My son just quoted the Christmas story. For God so loved the world. That's you. That's you. That's you. That's you. That's me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. And that word only begotten, those two words, means one of a kind. Unique. How many of you know Jesus is one of a kind? And He sent His one and only Son that whosoever, I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've done, whosoever believes in Him. And that Bible word for believe means to place your entire being, your entire weight on and in Him. Surrendering to Him. I asked those children yesterday at Summit Heights, how do you get saved? And one little girl in the back said, by calling on Jesus' name. You've got to call on Him to save you. And I tell you, God looks at your heart. And if He sees you've got a repentant spirit and you're ready to turn from living for you to living for Him, His blood will wash away all your sin and His Spirit will come to take root in your life. And it won't be a perfect, easy life, but it'll be a little smoother with Jesus as you travel down that difficult road. And it ends in glory. Whosoever shall believe in me shall not perish, but have temporary life, everlasting life. Some of you all today need to make that choice. You know where the path is. You know who it begins with. It begins and ends with Jesus. And you need to choose Him today. The Bible says if you will receive Him, He will receive you. And some of you have already chosen Him. You're saved. But you have gotten off the beaten path. And you need to get back on that path. I call that revival. And start following the Lord in His way. I think it was Isaiah or Jeremiah. One of them said, this is the way. Walk ye therein. Let's get on God's path, second mile. And let's follow Jesus all the rest of the days that we've got. And one day, we'll hear these words. Ross, well done. Debbie, well done. Paul, well done. Don, well done. Good and faithful servant. If you're here this morning, you need to receive Christ, I would love to pray with you. One of our partners would be glad to pray with you. But you've got to come. Maybe you and your family need prayer. You need to get back on the right path. You come. We'll pray for you as well. You come. Let's stand and sing. As the ladies lead us, you come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.